The views and opinions expressed by the Should They Watch It podcast are those of two moms who happen to be a registered play therapist and a voice actor for cartoons. So while they may feel their opinions come from a knowledgeable place, they are still, in fact, just opinions. Should They Watch It? A podcast that takes the task of reviewing your kids' favorite shows off your to-do list. Hello and welcome to the Should They Watch It podcast. I'm Kara Edwards.
I'm Laura Orr.
And I'm going to apologize in advance because Coda, the studio dog, is active like crazy today and he keeps ramming into our microphones.
He must be excited because the show we're talking about today is all about animals.
All about animals.
Are you ready to sing?
I mean, but what are we singing?
There's no words.
There's no word because the whole beginning is just kind of like...
like a techno
80s electric keyboard
like sounds like a video game song.
I mean, they do have the towards the end of the show when they do the fact files.
Yes, and I do enjoy that.
So there is like kind of a song, but not really a song.
Not too much. So, we apologize to everyone listening. We just can't deliver.
I'm sure you're so disappointed.
I have a feeling it's most people's favorite part. It's just not happening today, people.
I do feel bad, Laura, because I know this is what you live for, and there's not really a song.
There's not. It's really what it is. It's my favorite part, but you know, it can't always go right for me every time. Fortunately, this is a great show. But before we talk about that,
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. So, I play in a bocce league.
Uh huh.
And this is something that I do every week.
I'm just laughing because I'm sorry. Because
Coda's throwing himself around the floor and we could just hear like crunch, crunch.
No, he's also like wiggling all over your microphone. So your microphone is moving. Anyways, yeah. Sorry, bocce.
This is going to be a lot. So I play in a bocce league. Laura, your husband, also plays in this bocce league. We're on opposing teams.
Yep.
This past Tuesday, our teams actually played each other. Mm-hmm. We beat them. It's fine.
Naturally.
We beat them. We're pretty good. It was a really good game. It was really close the entire time. They were kind of kicking our butts. And then we came back and we ended up winning 14-13. So it was a super close, really fun game. Yeah. Anyway, this is not the point of my story. Our children were there.
Yes.
And our friends' children were there. And they were all kind of running in this field area near this restaurant and playing. And at one point during the game, I looked up and I noticed that Daphne was crying.
My baby was crying.
She was crying. She looked like she had her feelings hurt.
Oh. Because I was not there. My husband was playing and I was at home with the youngest. So I didn't know this.
So she was crying and I just noticed it. Jeremy had it under control. He was talking to her. She seemed fine a minute later, so I didn't think about it. A few minutes later, I noticed Michael was sitting off by himself and he was really sad.
Oh.
So I left the game and went over and I'm like, what's going on? And it turns out a mutual friend of ours, kid whose name I won't mention because I'm not throwing anyone under the bus here, had taken away a ball that Michael felt he should have had. Mm-hmm. And it really hurt his feelings. And then Daphne walked over and was like, why is Michael sad? And I said, well, it turns out our friend took the ball away and he was sad about that. The reason I'm telling this story, Daphne became you.
What'd she do?
She went full therapist.
What?
And was like, that's also why I was crying earlier, because this child took the ball away from me too. And Michael, it's okay because I don't think he's trying to hurt our feelings. I think it's that he gets really excited when he sees these balls and he can't control himself, so he takes the balls away.
Oh.
I had my jaw on the ground, little sweet therapist, and she just sat there with Michael until he felt better and she was like, do you want to go and play? And he said, yeah. And then he bumped me as he was getting, because we were sitting on top of a picnic table, and he bumped me as he was going. And I said, oh, hey, watch out. I almost spilled my wine. To which Daphne turned around and said, oh, you're not holding the wine glass correct?
What?
So I brought a wine glass.
in this morning because she said, you're holding it. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to explain to everybody it. Is I hold it with my hand around the glass part,
yes,
the main part, which you're actually not supposed to do because you can affect the temperature of the wine, which you're not supposed to do. But like when you're in an environment where there's children and things going on, that's the safest way to hold it. And she said, no. My mom always holds her wine glass like this. And she puts the stem of the wine glass between her pointer and middle fingers and holds it like a little lady.
Do I hold it?
I don't know, but it made me laugh so hard. It made me laugh so hard as she said, you're just holding it wrong, and that's why you almost spilled it. My mom is so much better at this.
What?
My mom, Laura, knows exactly how to properly hold a wine glass.
What is happening right
now? It was so hilarious. It was so funny.
So much about my child is being revealed to me, actually, as you speak.
So it's like this. It's like this, ladies and gentlemen. This is how you hold your wine glass.
Oh, my gosh. That is not how you hold a wine glass.
Technically, you're supposed to hold it by the stem. Because then you can swirl it and you cannot affect the temperature. You're actually not supposed to put your
hands. Who holds it at the stem?
Nobody does it. People who
Fancy people
who like wine and don't have children.
Yes.
And are capable of holding a delicate glass this way. I am not.
No.
I grip it like it's a football.
No. Yeah.
Exactly. Not Daphne. She did offer to hold my wine glass while I was playing bocce.
Oh, dear.
And I told her I was okay. Because I didn't want your six-year-old daughter sitting there.
With a glass of wine.
With a glass of wine.
That she would have ultimately herself spilt for sure. And then she would have had to reevaluate that opinion she had about how to properly hold a wine glass. That is so interesting. So, above all, the message I'm taking away from this is that they're always watching.
They are always watching.
Because I rarely ever drink wine. Let alone in front of her.
I know that about you, and that's what made it so funny.
And also, our wine, second of all, our wine glasses are stemless. So I have no idea where she's getting this.
No. She was, it's because you're holding it wrong. If you're holding it wrong, you got to put it between your fingers like this.
It's so great.
Man, it is so funny.
I love that she was also just being so kind to Michael.
She was being so thoughtful.
I love that. She really is protective of her friends, and she wants to make sure that everyone's okay and taken care of, or at least feeling taken care of. And I also just love that she didn't take this other child's behavior personally.
No, she didn't. And she said, mm-hmm, he's not trying to hurt our feelings.
Yeah.
He just gets excited when he sees the balls and he can't handle it.
I love it.
And it was so sweet. But just it's like she started to look more like you.
Oh, gosh.
I watched her and I'm like, whoa, you're a little Laura.
Tiny Laura has entered the chat.
Tiny little Laura is here to help us through the situation.
My baby.
It was so sweet.
It's so cool to watch your kids grow. I mean, as bittersweet as it is, the sweet part for me has been just watching them become people, actual
yes.
people, you know, and watching them navigate social situations or just any situation, really. But because we can only teach them so much. And so,
it's my favorite thing to do. We were just doing this like an hour ago. Is I love to sit back and be like, what are our kids going to be in like 10 years?
I know.
Who's going to be what? Who's going to mm-hmm. be popular? Who's going to be weird? Who's going to be like, I love doing this.
I know. I do too. I really do. And it's just exciting. It's exciting to see them, what their autonomy looks like. And to be proud of that too,
I know,
right?
I know. I had to tell you. It was so cute.
Thank you for telling me that. I love it, because when I came in today, you were like, I have a story to tell, and I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to wait.
And I was like, and I'm bringing a wine glass.
I was so curious about the wine glass. Okay. I was like, we have never drank on air while doing a podcast, but that's
okay. Hey, there's always room for improvement.
Hey, you know, we haven't had a drink while recording before, but that's not to say I haven't thought about it.
Right? There was a time you came in with some hippie cacao and made me drink that.
Yeah, man. I was just trying to like open up, you know, anything that's been blocked. Just trying to elevate the experience, man.
I'm such a sucker. I have no idea if that cacao is
it actually does anything.
Anything. But, you know, us,
they say
us
it millennial. Does, we're going to buy into it.
I am a total, like, millennial aspiring hippie lady. And so if you tell me to rub jade on my forehead and it will make me have vivid dreams, I'm going to say pass me the jade, you know?
Pass me the jade. Let's go to the plant store. All right. So how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I took a break from TV, aside from the TV we watched for the show, to do other things. And I jumped back in with a vengeance, and I've been watching a lot of fun stuff. Did you ever watch The Real World New Orleans?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I remember MTV.
Okay, that's a no.
I did watch The Real World as like a child. Like, I mean, okay, when that was a thing.
So I've realized that this season meant more to me than some other people, because Real World New Orleans was like the show I think of when I think of The Real World. I didn't watch a lot of it growing up because I think I was a little bit too young.
Okay.
But there are two seasons that have stuck out to me. And one is Real World New Orleans and the other one is Real World Las Vegas, just because it was a hot mess. But New Orleans had a lot of very important people in it. There was Julie, who was a Mormon, and just by being there, she was risking getting kicked out of her college.
I think I remember this.
Yes. And so there was just a lot of things at play with her being there. And then there was Danny, who was – he was gay. He had just come out as gay. And then he was dating somebody who was in the military. And because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he could have lost his job if anyone knew he was gay.
Okay.
So he would come on the show and his face would be blurred. And it was very stressful for him to be there. Anyways, all of the characters actually have very dynamic stories. But – They're shooting their reunion right now.
Oh.
And so it's been 22 years, and I am so hooked. They only release one episode a week.
Okay.
And I'm just, it is just so, so good. These people are fascinating people, and I cannot believe that they are able to come back and be just as I guess enrapturing as they had been.
Interesting. So can Danny show his face?
Sorry, it's not Danny who couldn't show his face. It was his boyfriend Paul who couldn't show his face.
Can Paul show his face?
They're no longer together, but
Paul's like, you're not getting my face.
They have shown it.
I could show my face, but not for you.
You broke my heart.
You broke my heart.
You could probably find his face online if you wanted to, but it is crazy. It's just been so good. So I'm also watching The Sex Lives of College Girls, which I think you would love. It's on HBO.
Okay, the title's not getting me, but okay.
I know. It's really funny, though.
Okay.
It's like, it's very, it very much explores that transition from being in high school, you know, living with your parents, going from that to being completely independent, living on campus, independent for living on campus in a college, but just not being under any supervision whatsoever and what happens during that time.
Okay.
And it explores that in a really funny way. So
is this like a reality show or is this like actors?
It's actors. It's scripted. And it's, I love it because I still remember what that was like for me, going from, you know, high school to college and just having a freshman year that was bonkers because I was still a kid, but I was technically an adult and I made dumb choices.
Oh, Yeah.
Nothing regrettable, but, you know, just understanding.
But still, you're just kind of, that's a time where you're not really developed enough to be in the situations that you're in. Yeah. And so you make really bad decisions.
It is a free for all.
Yeah.
And
that's why I want to figure out how to keep our children six.
Yeah. No, we're just going to have to.
I don't want to go through it. I don't want to deal with it.
Well, our cult is coming soon. For sure. Especially after watching Euphoria.
Yep.
Yeah. That's basically what's going to have to happen. Your dog is trying to eat your jewelry.
Coda.
I'm just letting you know.
You're killing me, man.
And the last show I'm watching is Russian Doll.
Okay.
It's amazing. I can't even explain it, but it's written by Natasha Lyonne and Amy Poehler, and it's on Netflix.
Oh, then I bet that is great, because they're episodes hilarious.
Yes. It's really, really good. Two seasons have come out, and I'm watching that one consciously once a week. I'm pretending an episode is coming out every Monday, which has brought me to something I wanted to talk to you about. I've been thinking a lot about binge watching.
Okay.
And I wanted to know what your opinions are, because obviously before streaming platforms became available to us, we were really only able to, for the most part, watch the TV that was presented to us through cable, and the TV was being released one episode a week.
Right.
And so now that is not the case at all. Save for a few shows that are still doing that. But I would say for the most part, streaming platforms will just drop a whole season all at once. And people, I think a lot of times, end up binging a show season in the matter of like 2 days. I mean, I've done it. I don't know if you've done it. I'm sure most people
not can. Since I had a kid, but yeah.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to know, hear from you, if you experience a difference in your viewing, I don't know, experience.
Okay, yeah. So when it was cable and we could watch one at a time, I think it was nice because you had to let it go because you didn't have a choice.
Yes.
Now that it's available to us, I'm someone who, when I start something, I need to finish something. Mm-hmm. And it is something that will actually, I'm not talking real stress, life stress, but it is something that causes me a little bit of stress when I'm like, I can't finish what I started. But then on, because I'm busy and I can only watch one at a time and I'm going to have to wait a week or 2 weeks, but it's sitting right there staring at me going, why aren't you watching me?
Right.
On the flip side of that, one of the shows that I just finished was the John Wayne Gacy tapes. Mm. You and I watch very different television. Mm. As I'm like, we're like in the middle of Ozark, we're watching The Graduate. Like I tend to watch very dark TV.
Yes, you do.
And so the John Wayne Gacy, it's this fascinating and very well done docuseries where they had over 60 hours of interviews of him when he was in prison after they had discovered the 30 plus men that he had, boys that he had murdered. And it's interviews with him while they tell his story. And I knew kind of his story, but not in depth. This was a very difficult series for me to watch. It would be difficult for anybody to watch because it's incredibly dark, and it's very real. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's so many implications about why it was allowed to go on so long, and it's awful. Yeah. And so anyways, the reason I'm bringing that up is once I watched the first like 30 minutes, I was like, I've got to finish this thing and I got to know how this all ends up. And I was very thankful to be able to just knock it out, to get in there and in 2 days during lunch breaks, like I'm just going to take an extended time, watch it and be done, because it's like 3 episodes. So it was fast.
Oh, okay.
And it was nice because if that was one that I think if I'd had to have waited, then like the processing of it, I very likely might have abandoned it. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I watched it through just to see, again, there's a lot of like societal implications, but yeah. And it gives you a lot to process and think about, but I was glad to watch it, be done with it, and move on with my life, and then I could continue to process in my own way.
Because on the other hand, you would have had 3 weeks of a dark cloud hanging over
really
your head.
Really dark cloud, and if that's the case, I would rather it have been Ozark, which is what I'm dealing with right now. So
you would have rather what be Ozark?
If I'm going to spend weeks on end in a dark place, I would rather be on Ozark than the very real story of John Wayne Gacy that was very upsetting. At least Ozark is like scripted and fake, and you're like, this is fun. What are they going to do next?
Right.
So now the thing is what is also difficult is spoilers. Because when everybody else gets to go and watch a series and you aren't capable of binging it, and so you're watching like one episode every few nights.
Yes.
I'm having to avoid Ozark spoilers like crazy.
Well, and that is the thing. Aside, there are things about binge watching on a personal level that affect me differently than watching episodically. I don't know even if that's the right word, but watching weekly, I'll say. But the interpersonal way that it is shared, I feel like, is something that I don't love.
Right.
For the reason that you just stated, and also just on a personal level, I just remember when, I don't know, Breaking Bad would come out.
Yeah.
Dexter would come out and everyone would watch that one episode.
And then talk about the one episode.
And then talk about it.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones as well. And so we were all on the same page, those who chose to watch.
Yep.
We're all on the same page. And we could talk about that one episode and also speculate about what next week is going to be like.
Right.
And now I feel like if I approach somebody about a new hot show that's come out, like Bridgerton.
Yeah.
I will approach a person and I'll be like, I have watched two episodes of Bridgerton, and they might say, oh, I watched the whole thing.
I've seen that. In fact, you and I ran into this recently because you were like, I watched two episodes of Bridgerton. I'm like, cool, because I'm up to date.
Yes.
I've already watched it all. And I'm like, so I won't say anything to you.
And then we can't really have much of a conversation.
Yeah, we can't because I don't know where you are.
Exactly. And how fun it's not as fun for you.
You're
because
right.
I can speculate about something like, oh, I wonder about this thing. And you already know the answer.
Yep.
So you're just like, I don't know.
I don't know.
And that's not as fun of a conversation to me as if we had both watched Bridgerton at the same time, one episode per week, let's say, and then we could do that thing where we say, oh my gosh, you know. I also realized that I'll just stick with Bridgerton because I did binge watch that, is that when I do that, because I'm sitting there for over 2 hours, I tend to be on my phone more, playing a game or just like vegging out because I'm sitting there for so long that I don't remember all the details of the show because it just starts
instead
to
of
mesh
sitting
together.
For that 1 hour. Yeah.
Yes. And if I – so I'm purposefully watching Russian Doll one episode at a time per week with some friends, by the way. I've roped in some friends because I just – I want that interpersonal thing, but I also – want to just kind of notice what is different. And what I've noticed is different is I think about the episode longer. Like when I finished watching, it's only 30 minutes long. So when I finished watching it, I got up and I was doing chores around the house and it followed me. I was thinking about it more and postulating about, you know, what's going to happen next time.
Versus getting through the whole thing.
And just already knowing the answer and being like, whatever, it's fine.
So as the actor,
mm-hmm.
it's also really interesting because I exist in a world right now where I am currently recording two animated series. One of the animated series is debuting each week, is a new episode is going on the air each week, and we are recording in real time. So record, like, for example, I'm actually recording all day tomorrow on this show.
Oh.
And that will be on the air in a week.
Oh,
what I'm
wow.
recording tomorrow okay. will debut on the Crunchyroll channel in a week. And
cool.
everybody already knows that I'm in this show. There's already been a big announcement versus this other series that I'm working on that we're actually recording the entire series. Mm-hmm. And then it will be released on the channel that it's going on. Kind of like we see a lot of times on these streaming channels where it's like, oh, here's 35 episodes or whatever all at one time.
Right.
And that's what's happening. And it's really interesting as the behind the scenes actor. One of the shows, it's like, you got to get in there.
Yeah.
If I'm sick, if I'm whatever, like I'm still recording no matter what. And that show's got to go on the air versus this other one where we have so much time. Like we're going back and revisiting the early episodes and like making changes and there's script revisions and animation changes. And so it's like, the ability to be so much more thoughtful when they go on the air in a clump. But it's also fun to be recording. They call them simuldubs because you're simultaneously dubbing a show that's on the air.
So you feel like the process of recording and putting the whole thing together is more thoughtful, able to be more thoughtful if they clump it?
I mean, you just get more time.
Yeah.
To go in. Really, and of course, also the difference is that one of the shows is dubbing, which is anime, which means we are taking a show that is originally in Japanese and we're putting the English to it. So the animation already exists. The script is already there. Like, mm-hmm. there aren't going to be big changes. First, it is original animation where there can be changes as we go and it all will be put together. So I don't know that I can say one is necessarily more thoughtful or better.
Sure,
It's just interesting. It's just interesting versus that weekly thing versus it's all got to go out at once.
I never considered that. Yeah, that sounds very different. Is there one that you prefer?
I mean, maybe it would be, I do prefer a little bit the longer process just because, like, if there was a day I was sick or something, there's a little bit more space to do that, whereas the simuldub is different.
The deadline is more flexible.
Yeah.
I get that. That's so cool.
It's just interesting. Yeah. It's just interesting.
Well, what else is interesting is the show we watched this week.
You know, speaking of binging, I did binge watch.
I was just actually thinking that. I was just thinking that. I was like, we have to, for this podcast, binge watch all of these shows.
We do. And that's what I sat down because it's 10 episodes that are currently, there's one season on Netflix. And I did over 3 days. I sat down and was like, Creature Cases, focus, go.
Get it done. Yes. Well, Kara, now that you've watched all of the episodes, should they watch it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
It's adorable. Kara's a yes. Should they watch it, Laura?
Absolutely.
It's precious.
I'm such a yes on this show. It is, yeah, it is so precious. So precious.
All right, Laura, tell everyone what it's about.
Okay. Sam Snow is a detective and Kit Casey is an animal expert. Together, they solve the animal kingdom's many mysteries. Throughout the show, we learn a lot of fun animal facts about the suspected culprit, and then when they solve the mystery, we get to see what the animal looks like in real life while learning even more animal facts. I don't know why I said that whole thing like a spy.
Because, I mean, it has like a touch of that.
Yeah.
My note of what's this show, I said it's like Rescue Rangers meets Octonauts meets Carmen Sandiego.
Well, it's funny you say that because this is from the people who created Octonauts.
That does not surprise me in the least.
I've never seen it. So it's a lot like that.
It is. They're very, very similar in the way they, but then it reminded me so much of Chip and Dale.
Come on.
Rescue Rangers.
Chip and Dale when there's danger.
Yep. Because it is two animals that are on the case to solve the mysteries that are going on around them.
Yep.
I grew up on Chip and Dale. I was a big Chip and Dale fan.
Same.
And so the Rescue Rangers were awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Creature Cases for me got me the same way that the Rescue Rangers did back in the day. I'm also a lot older, so maybe that's why. But I do like the elements of education that are put into this show that I assure you the Rescue Rangers lacked.
Definitely.
Yeah. So there was this one is much more thoughtfully done. Mm-hmm. And the Carmen Sandiego I thought of just because they're going to different locations and you learn about those locations.
Yes. I think that's a great description of this show. I definitely loved Chip and Dale's as well. And I think the reason I watched it was for the characters in the show.
Yeah.
For Chip, for Dale, Gidget.
Gidget. I was going to say, Gidget. I can't remember the other names.
The cute mouse that they would fight over. And then all the other, there were a couple of other characters. We were watching it for their stories, I think.
For sure.
This show, I don't see myself watching it for Kit and Sam as much as I'm watching it for what animal. Like, I'm trying to get down to the bottom
story,
of the story,
the mystery of what is it going to be. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. And so I think for that reason, kids might not rewatch this as much as they might rewatch a show like Chip and Dale's.
Perfect. Yeah, I agree with that completely.
That's my opinion. I mean, some kids might rewatch it, but once you know who the...
what the mystery is.
Yes.
And, yeah.
You might rewatch it to see where the hints were dropped.
Yeah.
But then you might be done after that.
Michael loved this series when he watched the first time. Remy was talking about the series constantly. She loved it. Mm-hmm. When I was watching it, Michael had no interest in rewatching it.
So, okay.
Yeah. Interesting. He would kind of like look up and he'd be like, oh, this one's good. Or, oh, this mm-hmm. is a funny scene. Like he would say things like that. But I agree. The characters aren't quite as developed.
Right.
Which might happen in future seasons. We're also just looking at season one. I thought it was very cute that not everybody was the same type of animal that worked on the rescue team, mm-hmm. if you will, because you have Sam, who is a snow leopard. Kit is a fox.
Yes.
The main person who's sending them out, she's a chicken.
She's a chicken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then their little... The friends that they have, not friends, but co-workers.
The keyboard players, the DJs, the musicians.
The little mice.
They're mice. Mm-hmm. So they're super cute. Was it Jill and Bill? They're the mice squad. The mice squad. And I didn't really get the whole 80s vibe that was going on with the music and with the sunglasses and the attire. But at the same time, I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah, same. I think it was just aesthetics.
And it was fun and cute, and the music was cute and poppy, so and that was a big focus of it. Was there's even an entire episode that's devoted to Bill and Jill, and the mystery is them. They've gone missing and they've got to find them, right. And there's like this whole, like, it turns out they have a fan club of coyotes or wolves, I can't remember, but
I'm definitely a member of their fan club. I actually would argue that those characters are more, I don't know, quote unquote, interesting to watch, just
no
because
question.
They're so weird. You raised your eyebrows.
I did. I'm sorry. I raised my eyebrows. There's definitely a storm blowing in, and I just saw a bunch of things blow past the windows. So we're going to hope that we don't get a bunch of lightning, because I would have to shut down. But we'll see. We're going to get through this.
So the show has one season, as Kara said. They're each about 25 to 30 minutes long.
Some of them, but not all of them. Some of them have two different storylines in that 30 minutes. Yeah.
Yes, correct. We are apparently a crew of Netflix watchers because
we keep going after Netflix.
This is a Netflix show. Who is the audience?
I would say 4+.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe even 3, but probably 4+ because it's simple storylines. This isn't going to be scary. Scary storylines aren't mm-hmm. scary. The snakes are drawn cute. Everything's drawn very cute.
I would agree. What do you think is the cap as far as age goes?
I mean, maybe 8?
I would agree. I would say 8 or 9.
Yeah.
If your kids are animal lovers, which most kids are, this is going to be a great one for them. Because not only, like we said, the main characters are all animals, but... they are learning about a specific animal throughout the show, and they get all kinds of cool animal facts. And
which it does follow that formula we see in a lot of shows where they're like, here's a cute storyline and we're going to follow it up at the end with here's something real. Here's the real animal mm-hmm. and here's interesting facts about that real animal, which I think they do very well in this show. They do it in a way that's snappy and cute and fast, and the kids are not going to get bored.
I agree.
But they remember it. Because Remy came to me before you even mentioned us reviewing this show. Remy came to me and she kept talking about the mouse deer. Mm-hmm. There's a mouse deer. Mom, there's a mouse deer and it does this and this and this. And she kept saying that. And I kept going, baby, I think you mean a deer mouse. Because I'm from West Texas where we had deer mice. So I was like, I think you mean a deer mouse. And she's like, okay. And then you mentioned it. We're like, we should do this show. It's really cute. There's a mouse deer. And I'm like, I think it's a deer mouse.
So is there a deer mouse?
Nope, it is a mouse deer. There's a deer mouse and a mouse deer, and they are not the same animal.
Oh, that's confusing.
Yeah, I actually had to look it up after I saw the episode because I was like, wait, hold on. Is a deer mouse a real thing? And yes, a deer mouse is a real thing that is often confused with a house mouse. And then there is a mouse deer that is one of the smallest creatures. It is the smallest creature with hooves, which, by the way, I learned on the creature cases.
Yes, you did.
And so it is a tiny little creature with hooves, and it is a mouse deer that is different from the deer mouse. There you go. Fact file. Fact file.
Kara's on the case. So a deer mouse is just a mouse.
Then. Yes. Oh, okay. And a mouse deer is a creature I have never seen in my life.
No, but it is fascinating to look at something that tiny with hooves.
Yeah.
And like we said, they show it in real life. Yeah, that part, I loved it as well. Like you said, it's to the point.
Yeah, it gets it done. It gets the information out there. It doesn't dwell on it. They probably could fit in even more, but they keep it cute and snappy. And again, the kids remember it.
Totally. So we're on the topic of whether it's fluffy or educational. I think that the purpose of the show is to use entertainment to teach about animals. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I feel like some of the shows are entertaining and then they throw in facts here and there.
Yeah.
But this one, I feel like the purpose is to teach you and they're trying to find a fun way to do it.
So it's like a fluffy storyline that ends in something educational.
Yeah. But I feel like it's an educational
premise.
Like it's the premise is it's like Wishbone.
Yeah.
You know, it's everything was intentionally done for the purpose of teaching
something
the kids,
yeah,
but it's also done in an entertaining way. It's like Number Blocks. It's, you know, like here we want to teach kids math, but we're gonna do it in a way that is
we're gonna bring the numbers to life. And you're right, because you will remember things about creatures, like the Gila monsters I've heard about my whole life. I didn't realize the fighting and biting, and you'll remember it because of the storylines throughout the show.
So and they really do a good job on the storyline.
They really do. It's cute.
It's so cute.
Like, I was not – a lot of shows that are aimed at much younger children, I find myself having a hard time focusing on. Mm-hmm. This one I didn't. I found it super cute.
Yeah, I think parents will definitely enjoy it. There's just a lot of really thoughtful touches. I love that anytime they would go to a watering hole, they had it decorated like a tiki bar.
Yes.
And all of the animals were wearing Hawaiian t-shirts. Yes. It just was so adorable.
The rhino rage party at the watering hole was so hilarious.
What was your, do you have a favorite episode?
Oh, goodness.
Or one that stood out?
Honestly, several of them do. One of the first episodes is the one with the monsoon, and there's the dangerous four snakes. I forget what they called them, but that one was an interesting episode. I did like the Raging Rhinos one was really funny. There were several in there. I like the serpent that they thought was a serpent that turned out to not be a serpent at all. In the desert, and there was also the Gila monster. No, there were several. Yeah. Honestly, as I'm sitting here, there were several that were really, really cute. Did you have a particular favorite?
There was one that I really... Hold on.
See, what's happening right now is Laura's going through her 6 pages of notes.
This is
something everyone should know. I showed up with 5 lines of notes. 5 lines on my notes. Laura has 6 pages.
I always I am a stream of conscious person, and so I sit there and I just write. And it is so weird.
And we had this whole time. I was like, boy, this one's really straightforward. We should just fly through this. And Laura's like, no, I have thoughts.
Like, I come in. Like, never ever do we fly through something. It's just not.
Literally 5 lines.
It's so not in me. I did love the rhinos. I think they were just my favorite characters, and we got to revisit them several times throughout the season, but the one that was particularly focused on them, I really just enjoyed quite a bit.
I didn't know they rubbed noses to say hello.
Exactly.
There was so much, there was a lot that I learned about Anna, and I'm such a believer that anything that helps children become interested in animals and the planet and caring about other things. It helps with empathy. It helps with so many things. And then they're going to be more apt to care about our planet. And and that's a big thing for me. So I'm going to cheer any show that has, you know, my stepdaughter talking about deer mice.
Yes.
Mice deer.
Well, it's a very real thing, too. Yeah. Everything you said is completely true and accurate. The more you're exposed to something, the more you are going to feel connected to it. And that is with people, with nature. It's just how we are as social beings. that the more we communicate with other people, with the environment, yeah. the more we are going to feel
compassion
yeah. for it. So, yes, absolutely, a show about animals is going to be beneficial, especially the way that they approach it on this show.
Yeah.
And they, again, just the storylines, they were just great. There was a really fun episode about, I think it was like a naked mole rat. And
yes.
they were all royalty. Like, it was yes. a princess naked mole rat. It was just so, so silly.
And then
silly.
They couldn't find them because they're naked mole rats and they're burrowing. And,
yes.
No, there was a lot that's really cute.
Yes. And they had some good messages, too, throughout the show. A couple that I gleaned were, there was a couple of episodes that had this message of, how do we work together to figure
teamwork.
Out a way to make everyone happy, though?
Yeah.
So there is a conflict, you know, just because our wants are in conflict, so there'd be conflicts between each other, that doesn't mean that one of us must be wrong.
Right.
It just means that we want different things. And it reminded me of something that I've done in therapy. When two family members are in conflict, one of the questions I've asked before are you upset with this other person you're in conflict with, or are you upset with the problem?
Ah.
And if the answer is that they're upset with the problem, both persons involved in the conflict are now more disarmed, and they're more willing to work together to solve the problem. And this is something I thought of when watching some of the episodes. And it spoke to me also as a mother of two.
Yeah.
And as you have, you have yes. your two as well. When you're dealing with two people whose needs are oftentimes contrary to what the other person wants. And so I found that really cool, because in the story, an animal is usually, or a group of animals, they're usually very upset because something is ruining their habitat, for example. And then we find out that this other animal isn't trying to do that. They just,
they're focused on their own
need or want. Yes.
Right.
Their own needs are this thing. And so now we have to figure out how to be considerate of the habitat that's being destroyed, but also fulfilling the need that this animal has, because sometimes the animal is like, they need to eat.
Right.
And so you've got to be able to
this
eat.
This is what I do. I chew the yes. roots of trees. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the trees are now falling down.
Yes. So that was a huge message I felt for a lot of the episodes, which I really appreciated that. And I think parents can grab that when they're noticing that their
for
own kids are
sure.
fighting, you know. There was also frustration tolerance skills that I thought that were being taught. In the episode where the trees fall, Sam, because something is eating the root, Sam is getting overwhelmed because he can't get something right. And Kit says to remain calm and focus. Okay. Sam then closes his eyes and he takes a deep breath and he tries again. And this reminded me of something that we've done with Daphne a lot. And I've also done with kids in therapy, because when a child or anyone really is trying to do something that takes a lot of error before getting it right, you know, a person is understandably going to get frustrated. So I will tell Daphne to either look away from the thing that she's doing and take a few deep breaths, or I'll tell her to take a 5-minute break and try again. And because what happens when you constantly fail at something over and over, your stress hormones can get released.
Mm-hmm.
So adrenaline, cortisol, etc. That's why you'll see kids get super worked up when they can't get something right, and they may throw something or yell. It's because their stress hormones have been activated and they're not going to be able to think as rationally. And this can happen to adults too. We just don't throw things.
You've probably learned impulse control by
yes,
then.
Yes, exactly. You would hope so.
You
hope so. But once our stress hormones are released, your brain is not going to be as successful at accomplishing the task. And so taking a break can be super beneficial in down-regulating a person's nervous system and helping them refocus. So I loved that in this show, Sam does that exact thing. He is not getting it right. He literally closes his eyes, takes a deep breath, and then tries again. So it's a subtle moment in there, but it's a teachable moment.
But it's a message that you could use the show if you're watching it with your kids, mm-hmm. and then point out, like, oh, I just noticed that Sam took a deep breath right then and then was able to refocus. And I bet that would help us too when we're frustrated.
Absolutely. So many, little things in that show I felt like were so intentionally done.
Yeah.
And I would love to talk to the people who made this show, because it did not seem like a writer room type of environment. And I could be totally wrong. It
was there child development experts that were involved and therapists that were in there as well? That's really interesting. See, this is why I have 5 lines and you have six pages.
6 pages, baby.
Because I'm like, it's good. There's Snow Leopard.
I won't even tell you what the pages actually are before I edit, but, you know, whatever. do you want to go to potentially problematic?
Yeah, I only had one thing that I wrote down for potentially problematic. Mm. And I know anyone listening is probably going to roll their eyes at me, but this is something that bothered me personally. They really downplay the effect of venom. And they do it twice. I know, Laura almost choked on her drink. Sorry. I know. Bring out the nerd.
I just love how you said it.
Bring out the animal nerd.
They downplay the effect of venom.
It's a fact. They do it twice. When they talk about the 4 most venomous snakes, and then also when they talk about the Gila monsters, and there may be other episodes or other parts that I may have missed, but that they really downplay, and they just make it look like, oh, she's kind of silly right now, and she's saying words kind of silly and she can't really focus, but otherwise she's fine. And it's like, no, if you're bit by one of these snakes, you're probably going to die. Mm. And like this,
Unless you get treatment
immediately. And even then it's not a guarantee.
And that's hard to find, I've heard.
Yeah, like there was a gentleman in Texas that very sadly passed away. He was bit by a rattlesnake, and he was a rattlesnake handler.
Oh, wow.
He knew exactly what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And very sadly, like it just didn't, he got bitten a place that got to him very quickly. It was in the shoulder, and he did not make it. Like snake bites and some of these lizards and some of these venomous animals, there's even frogs. Like there's animals that's really serious. And I know you can't put that in a show like this and be like, oh, the train conductor's dead because she was, you know, bit by a venomous snake. I under, you know, they kind of downplay anti-venom where they're like, the anti-venom where they're just like, oh, I'll just mix some interesting ingredients together and look, she's perfectly fine. And she snapped back like that. And it's like, no, she would have lost her leg at the very least. Like, and so I that was something that, because I have a child that wants to pick up every wild animal and is obsessed with snakes. We just got a pet snake. Mm-hmm. So we now have a snake in our house, which is not venomous for the record. But that is something that it's like, I feel like I'm preaching to him constantly. Yeah. And so I was a little disappointed to see them downplay so much. Like, oh, they were bit, but they're fine.
I did not think about that, Kara, and you're so right.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I'm like, yeah, I am.
You're like, duh. That's a simple fix. They could easily at the end, because at the end, they're just fact dumping.
Fact files. Yeah. Yes. They could go in and be like, so actually, this could cause like, you know, death.
Especially to young kids.
Especially if a young child was bit by one of those 4 snakes, and then this is, I believe it's in Asia, I believe is where these snakes are found. Mm-hmm. You're not surviving that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking really serious stuff. So,
well, like you said, it doesn't even have to be Asia. Texas, rattlesnakes.
We have Gila monsters too. And you're not going to die by Gila monster, but like that is pretty serious. And the way she's bit, Kit's just kind of like, oh, I'm so silly right now because I have 2 Gila monsters hanging from each arm. And it's like, duh.
Right.
For someone with a kid that would be like, you know, Kit was fine, so I'm going to grab this Gila monster.
Yes.
That's literally the only thing I could come up with the show that I was like, oh, why did you do that?
Yeah, well, that's valid. And I think that it is a really good thing to point out so that parents can at least say while watching this with their kids, like, hey, this is actually something that could really hurt you. And they're downplaying it because it's a TV show. But in real life, this venom would, you know, we've got to practice some safety, especially kids, because you and your kids go hiking a lot. So that's an important conversation. And we own a ranch in Texas that has very dangerous animals.
That's very, I assure you have rattlesnakes on that range.
Oh, yeah. No, we have water moccasins.
Yeah.
We had an alligator once. No joke.
I remember that.
Not intentionally. It somehow got into our ranch. So those conversations are definitely important, especially if you live in an area where there are dangerous animals.
And you have a child like Michael who really,
fearless.
He's completely fearless and truly believes that he has this, and he does have this connection towards especially reptiles and other animals, where he's like, no, snakes love me. These animals love me. And I'm constantly like, baby boy. Like, it's a real fear.
Wild.
So I'm like, please, anything that can help bring that home without scaring him. But, you know, just the importance of safety around these poisonous animals.
No, that's a really good point. And I also really, you know, didn't find anything else to...
There's the thunder.
Yeah, there is. I didn't find anything else problematic about it. I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Common Sense Media gave it a 5 out of 5. So,
oh, good.
Yes, I think that this is one of those shows that...
It's worth tuning in. I think this one's worth a watch. I think you can feel safe with your kids watching this one for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I mean, I think that's our cue, most likely.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening, and tune in next week where we will have special guest Heather Toon from the I Can't Mom Today podcast. She will be joining us to talk about the show Super Pups.
Super Pups. I'm so ready. Super that's going to be fun. I love having guests.
Yeah,
so that's
going to
be super fun. Okay. You guys reach out if you would like. Should they watch it on Instagram? And you can also email us at podcast@shouldtheywatchit.com, website@shouldtheywatchit.com. Leave your reviews, leave your stars, and thank you so much for tuning in.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Subscribe and follow us on Instagram.
My bra is like a little smashed up. I don't think you're supposed to machine wash sports bras.
Because
they've got
I do.
The padding.
Yeah, but I do.
Does the padding get smushed up?
I take the
up?
Padding out.
You take the padding out?
Yeah, I can't handle it.
Do you not, do your nipples not?
Probably.
You're such an Aquarius.
I don't give a shit.